I hope you noticed the pianist for the hymn we just did is a newcomer to our rotation of accompanists for Sabbath services. Jackson Haney played the hymn for us this time around. So welcome, Jackson. Thank you for your efforts to learn to play hymns for us, and we'll look forward to much more from you in the future. You're stuck now. You're committed, and you're on our list. So great to hear you play for us this afternoon. A few weeks ago, we introduced the topic of wisdom. There are a number of ways that we can express what wisdom is. One of the definitions we started with and we referred to in the previous sermon was to define wisdom as the ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. Or another way to put it much more simply would be to say that having wisdom means to be skilled at life, to know how to live, to be able to make decisions that will keep us guided in the right direction or going in the right direction, to help us to avoid the pitfalls and the potholes of life, making decisions that are based on God's way. We apply what we've learned in the past, and we grow in our knowledge and our wisdom through experience. Any sound and reasonable decision, whether it's simple and mundane or whether it's complicated and difficult, can be said, when it's made properly, to be made on the basis of some level of wisdom. As we go through life, we're constantly challenged by situations we have not encountered before. And we need to be able to draw on that wisdom that we've accumulated to know how to best respond. And when we look at the world that we live in, the world is becoming more unstable, more angry, more violent. There's never been a time when wisdom is more important. What's most important to us, of course, are the skills and the knowledge that we need, the understanding that is necessary to be successful in our lives on a spiritual level, to fulfill that calling and purpose that God has given to us. So we might ask ourselves, how skilled am I at distinguishing between good and evil? How well do I do in making those kinds of decisions? What is my personal track record for exercising sound judgment and following the course of action that will continue on the path to God's kingdom? In the previous message, we made the point that God is the only true source of wisdom, and that his wisdom is a gift that he offers to us. We referred, of course, to Psalm 111, verse 10, which says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and those and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. So fearing God and obeying him, we're told here, is the very starting point. It's where wisdom begins, by obeying God, by honoring him. We also read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We might refer to that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, which reminds us that there is a counterfeit of wisdom that many people learn to put their trust in, but it's not true wisdom at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says that my speech or my teaching to you, my preaching, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Human wisdom can sometimes appear to be meaningful or helpful or important, but truly God is the one who is the source of true wisdom. And to God, human wisdom is foolishness. In chapter 1, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes that the wisdom of this world is just that. The wisdom of this world and its ways are foolish. We begin to learn wisdom when we're young. There's no time or age limit or age requirement on beginning to gain wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs, of course, is a book that's about wisdom. It's in a section of the Bible called the Wisdom Books. Proverbs' theme is wisdom. And secondarily, the theme is that this is wisdom to be learned by people who are young, those who are growing up and learning and developing their knowledge and understanding. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 says, "These are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." And here's the purpose in writing or accumulating these Proverbs: to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. The instruction of wisdom, it says in this verse, teaches us some very important qualities that add up to wisdom. It teaches us justice. Justice means to apply God's law appropriately and consistently. It teaches us judgment, which means to exercise discretion, to do the right thing in the right way at the right time. And it also teaches us equity. Equity meaning to be fair and equal in the way that we deal with ourselves and with one another. Wisdom has some far-reaching impact on our life, on our character. Justice, judgment, and equity. In verse 4, it says that the purpose of this book also in the teaching of wisdom and instruction is to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The word prudence is not one that we use often so much anymore, but it means to be shrewd. Shrewd in a positive way. Shrewdness can be very negative, used in a devious way, but it means to be clever and thoughtful. It means to have sharp judgment, especially in practical matters of life. It says to give to the simple this element of prudence. So the word simple is a little bit misleading. It doesn't mean one who is not capable or is maybe doesn't have, not too bright. But simple just means inexperienced. So again, it's talking about primarily teaching this quality to people who are young. You don't have to be old to have wisdom. You might have more experience. But wisdom begins. It's something we learn from the time that we're young, and that's what this book of Proverbs is all about. Notice verse 5, "A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel." We don't reach a point in life where we don't need wisdom anymore, or we don't need any more wisdom. Wisdom is something we continue to grow in. We continue to develop. And that's what today's message is about. The title of the sermon today is Growing in Wisdom. Again, consider the times that we're in and the need we have for good judgment, for being able to determine what is the right and the best thing to do. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we're reminded of the times that we are experiencing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes that you should know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Commentaries point out that the last days actually begin with the life of Jesus Christ, because that was when the final elements of God's plan were put in place. And from that point forward, we're talking about events that lead to his return. These are the last days. They may or may not be the time that will be directly lead to the end time events, but these are the last days. This is the final age of God's plan. And during this time, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Not a pretty picture. As mankind proceeds through the ages, the character and the kind of people that live in each age deteriorates. And this is what it becomes more like as we head into the last days, as we continue through the last days. Being skilled at life has never been more important. The ability to make the right decisions and to know what to do in different kinds of circumstances. Drop down to verse 13 here in this same chapter, 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. There are more imposters now than ever. An imposter is someone who uses a false identity to deceive. They hide behind who they really are and present something else for the purpose of causing deception. They create confusion about what's true and what to believe. Some of these people who behave in this way are themselves deceived, but others, it says here, are intentionally deceitful and intentionally deceptive. So deception and confusion, Paul warns, will become more widespread as we approach the end of the age, as we work our way through the last days. So wisdom is certainly a key element in our lives. So let's answer the question that's suggested by the title. How do we grow in wisdom? How do we grow in wisdom? Back to Proverbs chapter 1, once again, we'll see some practical and specific instruction on how we can develop wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, says that wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates of the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? This passage seems to be telling us that wisdom is out there for us to gain if we'll just pay attention. If we'll be observant, we'll see lessons in wisdom all around us. It cries out to us, calls to us, and all the different aspects of life. You know, as we observe things that are happening in the world today, we have to recognize that there's not, in many cases, a lot of wisdom that's being shown. Not a lot of understanding, not a lot of direction in a proper way. People are behaving emotionally based on anger, and they're not behaving in a way that's based on wisdom. But if we just look around, we can learn lessons of wisdom by what we observe. There are negative lessons, things that we learn that are wrong, that are incorrect, improper. We also even can learn positive lessons by being observant, by recognizing those who are practicing and showing wisdom in the way that they live. And Solomon ends this little passage with the question, a challenge. How long will it take to learn and to recognize the wisdom that is available? So let's look at some specific ways. I'm going to mention three different ways in which God will allow us or show us how we can develop wisdom in our lives. First of all, let's point out that the Holy Spirit leads us into wisdom. Now, obviously, we pray for wisdom. We pray that God's Spirit will work in our minds to help us to have the discernment, the understanding, and the judgment that we need. And we pray for that insight. Solomon did, we pointed out earlier. Solomon prayed for wisdom. He prayed for an understanding or hearing heart. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But how does God answer your prayer for wisdom? How does God help you and guide you into wisdom? Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's give this maybe some thought. He provides that connection that we need, a connection between us and him by his Holy Spirit, which opens us up to developing and having his wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. The wisdom, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to those who do or should have the maturity and the wisdom, not of mankind, not of human wisdom, not of this age, but wisdom that comes from God. Verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. This wisdom is not something that is some hidden knowledge that someone is going to come and reveal to us. The mystery he's speaking about is the understanding he has given to us through his Holy Spirit. The mystery is something that God has revealed to us, to those who are called. He provides us with a dimension, a depth of understanding of his plan and purpose that can only be revealed through his Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 11 to his disciples. He told them, "It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." It's been given to you to understand, to know what God's plan is and what his kingdom is about, to reveal that to us. That wisdom, as we read in verse 9, is revealed again by the Holy Spirit. It is written, verse 9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man things which God has prepared for those who love him. But it is revealed, but he has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." The New Revised Standard Version phrases it this way, "The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." So we have access to knowledge that has been revealed to us by that connection we have, the Holy Spirit. And when we understand God's purpose and plan, then we grow in knowledge, we grow in understanding, again, that only comes through his Spirit. Turn back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, the first chapter. This helps to emphasize something that's very basic but very important. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul is writing about his concern for the church at Colossae. He says that for this reason, that is because he had heard of their faith, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and scriptural understanding." The knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This emphasizes the importance of taking that Holy Spirit and putting it to work in our lives by our study of his word. We know that Bible study is essential. We know that Bible study is important. But here we find how it actually impacts our life. that we are filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and grow in spiritual understanding. The words that are used here are not difficult, but the expositor's commentary expands on them a bit. Knowledge, it says, is a deep and accurate comprehension. A deep and accurate comprehension, the foundation of God's teaching. It says that he will reveal to us the will of God. The will of God is his purpose. We sometimes wonder, what would be God's will in my life in this situation? We're faced with a decision. What is God's will? And we search for it, and we try to make a decision that's based on what we understand about how God would have us live and the way that we should proceed. But God gives us the opportunity or the ability to make decisions to be in conformance with his will. Wisdom isn't just knowing something. Wisdom is knowing what to do, knowing what is right. Paul mentions being filled with the knowledge of God. The Greek word translated filled suggests that it be something that pervades all of your life, all of your thoughts, all of your purposes, all of your plans. The knowledge of God is not just a simple, superficial, quick description of something that we might read in a scripture. It means that it fills our lives. It fills our thoughts, our purposes, and our plans. In Ephesians 1, Paul also writes about the impact that the Holy Spirit has as it works in our lives. Turn back just a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter 1. Earlier in the chapter, in the verse 13, he's writing about the Holy Spirit, which is God's promise, the guarantee of our inheritance as he grants that Spirit to us. Therefore, he continues in verse 15, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What is he praying for them? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. God's Spirit unlocks his wisdom, the things that he reveals. Revelation refers to, same as the mystery we read of earlier, it's something that we only can receive that is given when it's given from God. It's not something we can come up with ourselves. Revelation requires God's Spirit to work in us in knowledge and understanding. You know, we study God's Word, we know God's Word, but by continuing to do so is through repetition and through the reinforcement of study of God's Word that the understanding becomes deeper and stronger and more meaningful in our lives. That's why we continually read, study, and pray for God's understanding as we look carefully at God's Word. So God grants us wisdom through the way that his Holy Spirit connects us to him, giving us that extra dimension. Let's consider another way. Wisdom grows in what we'll call, grows in a hearing heart. Wisdom grows in a hearing heart. This is what Solomon exhibited when he went to God and prayed that God would grant him what he needed to be a king over Israel. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And we're just going to read beginning in verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. First Kings chapter 3 is not the same as 2 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. At Gibeon, the Eternal appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask, what shall I give you? That's an interesting opportunity. What do you want, and I'll give it to you, is what God told Solomon. And Solomon already exercised some wisdom by the way that he responded. He said, "You've shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart. You've continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." Solomon acknowledged that it was God who was leading David, and it was God who gave him the blessings and the kindness that he shared. And now he's extended it further by granting the son of David, Solomon, to be on the throne. "Now, O eternal my God, you have made your servant king." You've made me, Solomon, king, instead of my father David. "But I am a little child. I do not know how to go in or come out. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered and counted." He was overwhelmed by the thought of what his responsibilities would be to the nation. And what he wanted, what he prayed for, what he asked God to grant him was, "Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The Hebrew word translated understanding heart literally means a hearing heart. Wisdom is gained by hearing. Wisdom is gained by listening. We've already mentioned it's gained by experience, but it also comes to us by listening. We grow in wisdom when we know that we don't know all the answers. We grow in wisdom when we look to God to provide us with answers and direction that we know that he needs to help us with. Wisdom grows in a person who is humble, willing to receive instruction, and even willing to receive correction. Correction is not easy to take, but wisdom grows in one who is willing to receive instruction, direction, and knowledge, and correction. Continue in chapter 4 of 1 Kings 4, verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding. God opened Solomon's mind to these things, and he gave Solomon a special gift. Solomon was unique. Solomon was given certain special wisdom beyond what is ordinary because God had something that he wanted to accomplish through him. And we read in this chapter, in this section of Scripture, how it is that God intervened or God provided wisdom for him in a special way. Continuing in verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and exceeding great understanding and largeness of heart. So there's a matter of sensitivity and a willingness, again, to recognize the need that he had for God to grant him these things. He had a large heart. He had a hearing heart. He had an understanding heart. Thus, Solomon's wisdom exceeded the wisdom of all men. And it goes on to describe the incredible knowledge or wisdom that God granted to Solomon. It says that he spoke 3,000 proverbs and more than 1,000 songs. Everyone from all over the earth, wise men themselves, came to hear Solomon's wisdom. They came to hear what he could teach them. So when we pray for wisdom, it's doubtful that we're going to receive it on this level. That isn't what we expect. But God answered Solomon in a way that helps us understand that we too can ask for wisdom. And if we have a willing heart to receive the instruction that God will have for us, then we will grow in wisdom. The description of his wisdom continues on down through verse 34. Consider James chapter 1. Again, Solomon's wisdom was unique. Solomon's wisdom was for a special purpose that God used him for, and we benefit from that, from what he wrote, from what he experienced, from even his example of praying to God in this way. James chapter 1 tells us on our level, in our lives, that we also should pray for wisdom. Verse 5, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach. There's no hidden hook in what God gives. He gives it freely and genuinely. And it says it will be given to him. I find it interesting in this section, James 1, that in the first couple of verses here, verses 1 through 4 or 5, James addresses three qualities of character that we all want to have more of. He writes about faith, about patience, and wisdom. These are three primary characteristics that we seek. We learn to develop faith by putting our confidence in God in times of trial and difficulty. We learn patience because we continue to look to God as our trials continue. We have patience as we wait confidently for God to respond to us. And we should develop wisdom as well as we're in these kinds of circumstances. But wisdom is not something that God just opens up our brain and dumps into our mind. God gives us the capacity to come to understanding so that we can live wisely, that we can develop these qualities of faith and of patience, which really are part of a person of wisdom, so that we can deal with life, the challenges of life, the opportunities of life in a very, very effective way. As we continue to hear, as we continue to receive what God has to offer us, we will again continue to grow in wisdom. Go back again to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll just pick up verses 5 and 6 this time. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. I'm kind of overlapping a bit with what we read earlier. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. One who is wise will continue to hear, will continue to grow in learning. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and an enigma or a riddle and the words of the wise and their riddles. In other words, a depth of knowledge. To understand more than just the surface, but to be able to understand things that perhaps others would not be able to recognize and not be able to appreciate. As paraphrased in the New International Version, this is an exhortation. It says in the New International, let the wise man listen and add to his learning, and let the discerning get guidance. In other words, when we have wisdom, then we search for more wisdom. We add to it. We don't reach a point in life where we feel that we have the wisdom that we need, and we begin to live on our own thinking, but we continue to seek and desire further wisdom that we can receive from God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commands, will receive instruction and instruction in what to understand, what to do. They'll receive it, but a prating fool will fall. Having a hearing heart means that, we're willing to receive instruction, that we recognize godly instruction and we're willing to receive it. The Living Bible puts it this way: the wise man is glad to be instructed, but a self-sufficient fool falls on his face. The wise man looks for and is glad to receive instruction. The New International Version says, the wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. It's easy to get locked into our own patterns, our own way of thinking, our own solutions, what we think is might be right. But to have a hearing heart means that we recognize and we accept the direction that God gives to us. That can come in a number of ways. Certainly, as we saw in Proverbs chapter 2, that it's calling to us. It's all around us if we're willing to receive it and to respond to it. As it says here, as we look at this Proverbs 10:8, this proverb says that a foolish person is too busy talking to listen. Chattering away, feeling self-sufficient and proud of his knowledge. Listening is more important for us often than speaking. It's been said that wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you'd rather have been talking. This proverb describes that hearing heart, one that values, appreciates, and seeks out instruction and correction. In the Proverbs, the wisdom is often contrasted with foolishness. The fool is described as one who lacks wisdom. Wisdom is beyond his understanding. But consider a little more about the meaning of the word fool. The Hebrew word translated fool in the book of Proverbs is used to describe one who despises wisdom, one who is quarrelsome, one who is licentious or immoral. A quarrelsome person is full of himself. He has all the answers and doesn't need anyone else to tell him. And a fool, it says, is one who has no fear of God, but actually mocks or rejects God's law, scorns God's law. The fool is one who is just simply living on his own thoughts, his own form of wisdom, rather than looking to God. The point that's made throughout the Proverbs here is not just that a fool doesn't have wisdom, but a fool intentionally denies or rejects wisdom in favor of his own thinking. So again, Proverbs shows the need for and the benefit of, why we benefit from having a hearing heart. So let's move on to a third way in which we can grow in wisdom. We grow in wisdom as we're connected to God by His Holy Spirit. We grow in wisdom when we have a willing and a hearing heart, one that wants to be taught and to learn God from God. The third point that we'll review is really comes out of the first two. It's very similar to it, to them. Wisdom grows in those who obey God. Wisdom comes from and through obedience. In Deuteronomy 4, we're told that God's law is wisdom. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 5. I'm going to read this from the New Revised Standard Version, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. See, just as the Eternal my God has charged me, I now teach you statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you're about to enter and occupy. This is Moses talking to Israel as they are about to enter into the promised land of Canaan. So here's what God told Moses to tell the people. says, "You must observe these words diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples who, when they hear these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people.'" Verse 7, "For what other nation has a God so near to it as the eternal our God is whenever we call to him? And what other nation has statutes and ordinances as this entire law that I'm setting before you today?" God's law gives wisdom. By obeying God's law, we learn the way of wisdom. And obedience leads to wisdom and discernment. Chapter 11 of 1 Kings 11. You know, this is a sad part of the story of Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11. Verse 1. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. It says, "But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, the Hittites, from the nations of whom the Eternal had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you, because they surely will turn away your hearts after their gods.'" Solomon, for all of his wisdom, began to think and reason for himself. He began to think that he knew the way that he should live. For all of his wisdom, Solomon began to make foolish decisions. We noted that wisdom comes through obedience. Solomon turned away. His once hearing heart turned away from God's instruction, and his actions became selfish and evil, and he was, as he was warned, turned to other gods. His wives turned away his heart, it says in verse 3. "For so it was when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Eternal, his God." He became so overcome by his own personal selfishness and desires that he lost understanding of God. He lost the wisdom that God had given to him, the incredible wisdom that God had blessed him with. Now, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it appears that possibly at the end of the book that Solomon recovered from this darkness. But we really don't know for sure. We do know that Solomon turned away and he lost the wisdom that he had. He made foolish mistakes. And because of that, history was changed. He lost most of the nation that God had given to him to rule over. When his son became king, the nation of Judah was separated from all the rest of Israel. And it goes back to what Solomon did and what his son did in following him. So keep in mind that wisdom is also something that we can lose. If we fail to continue seeking it, Solomon's sad experience reminds us that we must continue to be obedient and humble, not to be drawn away by our own thoughts. Our own thoughts, again, we're warned, are still there, even though we live with exercise wisdom. Our own nature is still there, and it's something we need to be on guard against so that we don't lose. Because if we stop obeying God, then we're not going to have the connection to him and the wisdom that comes to us when we have a hearing and an understanding heart. Ephesians chapter 5 has quite a bit to say about wisdom and how it grows in those who obey God. Ephesians chapter 5. and begin in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We need to live carefully and exercise our wisdom and not allow that foolishness to enter into our lives. The Greek word that's translated circumspectly means to be strict, a strict conformity to a norm or a standard, a strict, in this case, conformity to God's law. We don't tend to like the word strict. Strict seems kind of extreme and limiting and demanding. The English definition of the word strict is severe in maintaining discipline. Severe in maintaining discipline. Rigorous in ensuring that rules are obeyed. To be precise or exact, and that rules are narrowly interpreted. That those are all pretty strong and somewhat negative ways to consider. But the point is this, not that obedience is something that is maybe judgmental of others or intolerant, but the point is that obedience should be consistent and thorough and complete. When we obey God, if we want to continue in wisdom, we need to be careful not to diminish or compromise our obedience. And that's easy to do. It's easy to fall into that pattern. Again, given the times that we live in, compromise is something that is we have to be careful and be on guard against. Wisdom is something that requires a careful and strict, consistent obedience to God's law. If we maintain that, see, that's exactly what Solomon lost. That's exactly what he didn't do. Verse 17 in Ephesians 5 says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." You see, there's wisdom and there's unwisdom. The Greek word translated unwise means not using your understanding, particularly in practical matters. Not using what you understand and what you know, but behaving in a way that denies what you know. Strong's Concordance defines this word more bluntly. It says, don't be mindless or stupid. To be unwise, according to the Strong's definition, is to be mindless or stupid. If we don't do what we know we need to do, if we ignore something that we know we need to do, then that is unwise. Or, again, Strong's says that it's mindless or stupid. It's thoughtless. It's something that we do that takes us away from and pulls us out of the connection we have to God so that we can be growing in wisdom. Let's conclude back in Proverbs chapter 4. Find ourselves going back to Proverbs consistently. It's an appropriate book. We're talking about wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, that is, exalt wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory to deliver you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is at the foundation and core of our lives. To be skilled at life, to understand how we should live, how we should apply God's law, what we do, what we don't do, what we think, what we don't think. The Holy Spirit, we've seen, gives us insight and understanding so that we can grow in wisdom. But we need to seek that wisdom with a hearing heart, asking God to grant us what we need to hear and be open to it, to be humble and to accept the instruction that God gives to us, rather than applying our own quote-unquote human wisdom. And God's law is what teaches us wisdom. God's law teaches us the skills of life, how to live, what to do, what not to do. And we learn through those applications, in those ways, that we can grow in wisdom through God's Holy Spirit working in us, having a willingness to receive instruction and to obey God carefully and strictly and consistently. As I said earlier, in the age we live in now, there's nothing more important than wisdom. Nothing more important than knowing and having the skills of life so that we can avoid the traps that the world has, that are out there in the world, the pitfalls, the dangers. So as we saw in this proverb to conclude, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom.